to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita piridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint in religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. we are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a word about Sunday morning groups. They are recorded and made available to our monthly donors. And just another word, next Sunday the monastery will be closed, so there will be no group next Sunday. What should we look at this morning? Renee?
I've been noticing what I call nagging.
Nagging?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just this constant background noise that you have something else to do.
This, and I suspect it's an internal nagging. A constant something to do. Kind
right.
Of voice. Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I've noticed it before, but it just was really, it was really clear. Like it was just like, wow, it's like really always doing that. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And draining energy,
You
know, as if that nagging was going to get it done or something. Yeah.
So just really noticing it clearer than ever before, that you're aware it probably has been there, but never has been as so obvious as before, and really aware of the energy draining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the distraction, and taking me out of the moment to not enjoy what I am doing.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like this, like as I was sitting this morning, just realizing I could just sit there and meditate.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a big thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was like a big insight, but it really isn't that big. Like, why, you know what I mean? It doesn't sound that big, but it's like it was just a big insight that I could just sit there and breathe, and I didn't have to think about everything.
Yeah, it is a big insight.
Yeah,
to just see that it's that voice
that's
constantly nagging actually has nothing to do with you, and it's really possible to just sit and breathe and be.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have anything to do with getting anything done.
And nothing to do with getting anything done.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually on a call with someone and noticed that, reflected back to them that was going on for them, and I think that's what helped me see it, and that we don't really have to think about anything. That's just, it's such a huge radical shift. Because what I noticed was that there's an analysis that goes on too of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone suggests something, then there's immediate analysis of, will that work or not work, or you know, or should, when am I going to do it, or, oh gosh, it's too much, I can't do all that, or, you know, just all this goes on as soon as something drops in from life or outside life, so.
And just seeing that radical, what would you call it, insight that, you know, actually, you know, getting it again, the thinking is, like, not necessary. And just seeing how much thinking goes on with every little thing that occurs in the environment, just constant input. And I'm projecting, go back to the draining part, you know, to just have that going on all the time, evaluating and sorting and
just and trying to solve a problem or you know, worrying about it, or, you know, just all the different ways that it hooks me into going down that road, you know. And what I realized during that call was that, or what dropped in was that it can drop in and you can just do it, which is kind of scary a little bit.
So, you know, no thinking required. Something can drop in from life and you can just do it. Wow.
And it's with the easy stuff, it's easy, you know. So, you know, whether or not to take a drink of water right now is easy, you know, just do it. And but if it's something big like, you know, I don't know. I can't think of an example. But
it's interesting, too, that classification that goes on of what's easy and what's not easy.
That's true. Yes, I get that. So it's so relaxing in a sense and scary on the other hand. Like, just to let go of all of that, you know, and just to be right here and know that it's all in life's time and
relaxing. I heard the word scary, and possibly the flip side of scary is exciting. You know, to like to just be present, and you say to see what's dropped in, and then just act on it. And see what happens next.
And I was recording about it this morning, and something funny really came in. Like, well, I am going to be dead, and this is going to get done. You know, nothing, whatever I'm doing ever is never going to get done once I'm dead. And I just laugh, like, oh, so none of it's really that important if I don't do it. Because nothing will really happen if I don't do it all. Right? I mean, the world's going to go on. And
the world's going to go on. It doesn't stop that. It doesn't stop the dying part. You know, that's coming on. It, you know, it's just all going to keep going. And so the worrying, you know, trying to get it done, the constant haranguing by the voice is just so
draining. And but the story behind that, the opposite of I'm going to die and nothing's going to get done, everyone's going to be on their own, so to speak, the story behind that is I'm actually helping people and doing all the things that are going to be helpful. And, you know, like, if I don't do all those things, something really bad's going to happen to somebody, or or someone's going to think really badly of me, or, you know, so all of that story behind that is just that pressure to, you know, if you don't do it, then, you know, there's something bad's going to happen.
Just that constant pressure on this person. If you don't do it, something bad's going to happen to you or all the people in your life, and it sounds to me like you're seeing just, again, more clearly the lie behind that, because those folks are going to go on, you know, the situations are going to go on, and whether we're here or not.
But there is something in it. It seems like that we could make a difference in somehow, but it isn't coming from that place, it's coming from center, you know.
That's interesting. So just seeing that there is a contribution possibly to be made, but it's not going to come from that voice. It's actually going to be coming from center. And may go back to that, you know, acting on what life drops in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not continuing the karmic and patterns.
Not continuing the karmic patterns and possibly having the contribution be something that we don't...
Yeah, we don't know what it
we
is.
Don't know, we like, have no idea what it is.
Yeah, but it thinks it knows. But it doesn't know. Yeah. Great to see you. Thank you.
Okay.
This isn't what I want to talk about, but I just briefly want to echo something I heard in that last conversation. It was super powerful. The life drops it in and I just do it place. Wow. That's amazing.
Uh-huh.
And I find myself doing that a lot lately.
Uh-huh.
It's this experience of the image I get is just being completely in alignment with life and in the flow, like in the little boat. Turned around with the current and in the swift water, just cruising. You know, it's just like life drops it in. How about this? No procrastination, no analysis, no just like boom, I just do it.
Right.
And like, whoa, the energy that's released in that, the empowerment, the just the steady, grounded, trustworthy kind of experience. It's awesome.
Steady, grounded, trustworthy experience of just saying yes to what the life drops in.
Yeah.
And as you say, you know, having that experience of being in the little boat and it's just, going down the, going with the flow. Mm. Yeah.
It's just this, there's no hesitation.
No hesitation.
It's not being in the car with one foot on the accelerator and one foot on the brake. Uh-huh. It's just, you know, just going.
Just going.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you say that, it's just that there's this ah.
Yeah. What a relief.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. To not be in that resistance.
Yeah.
So what I did want to talk about was, yesterday, I had this awesome day, and it was my birthday, and usually on my birthday, I work seasonally, and I work really hard, long days this time of year, and so usually my birthday is just another long, hard work day, and all of the attention is focused on that, and kind of nothing really left over for the guy, yesterday, I was in this place from the moment I woke up. I woke up and I was like, happy birthday. I love you so much. You're so awesome. What do you want to do today? Anything you want, you know? And just all day long, I had that. I was in that kind of relationship. Just all day. And it just felt so loving and delightful. It was like the best day ever. And so I asked the guy, like, what do you want to do? And he was like, I really want to go deep with some meditation. I want to do a sashimi. I want to do a little sashimi. And it was amazing how life opened up this time in the evening. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, you know, not a whole lot to do work-wise and pick up snack and no reason not to do it. And so I went ahead and came in and did some sit, walk, sit. And it was amazing. It was amazing because I had this really cool experience of just watching that strange juxtaposition of what was actually happening and then the voices kind of commentary of what was happening.
Yeah.
So what was actually happening was there was a beautiful, incredible intention that was, to celebrate. The thing I want to do most is to be here in complete presence, in silence and stillness, and just to enjoy that, and the incredible intention, and then sitting down and that no hesitation. It was like life dropped in. I don't want to do that, and then I just did it, and there I was. I was sitting here completely silent. Could have been doing any number of other things, and with this really beautiful experience. Enjoying the thunder and silence of a Buddha, and simultaneously, or kind of off and on, really, really quickly, there was the voices that were saying, like, nice try, but you're not doing a very good job, and pointing out all the different ways that I got drawn off, like, see right there, you weren't with the breath, you're off in a fantasy about a beach in Mexico, and all that kind of stuff, and it was fun because I heard the voices saying what they were saying, trying to, somehow like detract from the experience. And then the attention would come back to, but what's actually happening? what's actually happening is there's this amazing person with this beautiful intention who's following through, and here I am. I'm sitting in the posture, in silence. You know, it's happening. And in spite of what the voices are saying, and then sure enough, it's like, I mean, I don't need to make anything about what this means or anything, but I walked out of the hall and I stepped off the porch and I looked up and it was like, oh my God, the sliver moon, the stars, some like wispy clouds that were like in the shape of like galloping horses or waves crashing. It was just like, oh, whoa, you know, just completely took my breath away. And the wind and the pines, and I just felt so here. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, what a gift, you know? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just deeply grateful for, you know, this container and this place and this practice and this sangha that supports the opportunity to have those kind of experiences. Mm-hmm. And for the person who, you know, when it arises, just said yes.
Deeply grateful to the person who said yes. And giving, deeply grateful to the person who gave that, with the willingness to give that birthday gift of presence yesterday, to just really listen to what he wanted. You know, he wanted, and to hear that presence. And even though, you know, once again, well, you know, it's proof that harangue is going to go on. It's right. Never going to stop.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to be the focus of our attention.
Right. Yeah, that was what I was saying. It doesn't need to be a focus of the attention, and in no way does it need to detract from the experience. I mean, I was going complete harangue, and there I was, sitting still, having the experience, enjoying the benefit. And, it's great.
Yeah, it's, you know, saying, oh, that's interesting, complete harangue or sitting still, you know, and then I just love that. And then he was given the gift of that silence, that stillness, and that sliver moon and the stars and, you know, gifts that are just not purchasable, let's say.
Really?
Thank you.
Love that you don't need the voices to get anything done. Should be a
price. That's a bumper sticker.
It's a bumper sticker. I need a recording about that because it, you know, just hearing that, the system goes, it's so true.
Mm-hmm.
But the habit is not that.
Isn't it? It's such a wonderful thing. We have a guide that models that in this practice who gets way more done than
and I think that's what registered is that not only do you not need the voices to get things done, the voices actually get in the way of getting things done. That's my experience.
Yeah.
You know, that it's often in the resistance to doing things, the conversation with it around whatever it is, you know, you don't have time or it's going to be too hard for you or it's not going to work out the way you want. That all that listening to that conversation gets in the way of getting simple things, you know? And even if I do get things done, it's that experience I just heard with the foot on the gas and foot on the brake.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, I got through this, but did it really need to be that kind of effort, you know, that draining effort?
So just really looking at, you know, the draining of the energy that takes place with that kind of engaging the voices in any project.
Yeah.
And that, you know, thinking is definitely not required.
Yeah. Sounds so funny, right? Yeah. Not required. But I didn't even recognize that I had an experience of that yesterday. We had some schedule changes. And I just watched the mind. I had to rearrange some things and schedule some folks. And it was like something about the mind, like, loved that. It was going to pick out everything and find the right slots and analyze all the different possibilities and basically get this perfect schedule going. But I noticed that while that was doing that energy was draining out the backside.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was like ego loved that because it was taking all my attention.
Yeah.
And it seemed great because, oh yeah, I'm really getting it.
Yeah.
But experientially, energy was draining.
I get this image of a pickpocket. Like, you know, you're looking over there at some ruckus in the corner, you know, and the pickpocket's back there taking your gold, you know.
Totally, totally. And, you know, just so grateful to be in this silent environment, the privileged environment, because I wouldn't pick up on that otherwise. Mm-hmm. It would seem like this is actually helpful.
Yeah.
And then, no, I guess I'm just tired. I need to sleep more. Or I guess I need some coffee or something, you know.
Exactly.
As opposed to the pickpocket just got me.
Yeah.
So, but I did stop. Because, you know, that's what we're practicing doing. And I just breathed, and because I could feel that, ugh. And then it did. It just sort of appeared what to do. And it came from a totally different place. And it came visually. And I wrote down kind of visually what it was. And I was like, huh. Mm. And it was great because it wasn't like, okay, this will work always. It was just like, this is the next step.
Uh-huh.
This will work right now.
Yep. It didn't get... It didn't get siphoned off into that planning thing again. You know how it went. It didn't get taken over.
No.
It was just practice. It sounds like I project that doing consistent practice over a long time in the middle of all of the energy drain, it came to you to just take a breath and get here.
Yeah.
And in that, something dropped in. The next step, which is. Had nothing to do with thinking.
Yeah. It's good to have that out loud because it's funny how little, even at this point in practice, that gets accepted, that things drop in for this person.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, that just makes sense. You know? Like, as if I'm not adequate to things dropping in for life or something like that. And just to kind of go back in the situation and go, yeah, that just kind of came right through because of the practice and being willing to just pause and allow some space.
Absolutely.
Take care of the human, let them relax, drop that conversation, and allow life just to present.
Yeah.
And what I love about it, and I look back, is just that this is what's going to work for now.
Yeah.
This is the next step. Yeah. Not, okay, now I've got to figure out, but then if this happens, then that won't work then. But that'll work for this, but that won't, I didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
It was just so clear. This will take care of the immediate thing for now. And then I think I just heard this actually on a call. It's like, somebody's like, well, should I do these things ahead of time? I don't know if I have time. And they're like, well, just give it your best shot. And, you know, if that doesn't work, we'll make a different plan from there.
Uh-huh.
Like an outside person said that. And I was like, that just sounds like life.
Yeah.
Give your best shot, and if it doesn't work out, we'll make a different plan.
Right.
Like,
okay,
I can do that. You know.
If it doesn't work out, you know, give it your best shot. I love that. Give it your best shot, and if that doesn't work out, then we'll see, and then you know, go from there.
But so relaxing.
It's so relaxing.
And again, when you relax, you're back in that place, and life can inform.
Yeah, so relaxing to everything but ego.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
It just goes. A little crazy with that kind of that.
Thank you.
Cameron.
Yeah, and noticing in what people are saying, it is the ability to tell the difference between the voices and authenticity. And I've just been feeling so grateful for practice. That's a possibility to be able to, first of all, know that there's something going on that doesn't have my warfare in its awareness at all. And that, of course, at first feels like, oh gosh, you know, that's terrible because that's me. You know, that hateful voice and mean energy, but then to get that it's not. And then to practice seeing the difference and being able to know, oh, that's just a voice. I mean, it's just like incredible that we have that that as a practice.
Yeah, it's so incredible we have that as a practice, to be able to discern between what's authentic and what is self-hate, egocentric karmic conditioning. Yeah. And remembering a time when it was all just mushed together and thinking that it was all me, you know, and to start to tease those apart.
Yeah, and to just have a practice to grow, to you know, start to recognize the sensations that are so, it's so different between ego and authenticity. Yeah,
that's a good point. So it's not just that it's discerning a voice in your head or life, but you know, the sensations in the body. Just, you know, there's all kinds of clues about to point to when we're in authenticity versus when we're in,
the orientation, the experience, the sensations, the thoughts, the emotions. All of them are very, very different. It sort of becomes really clear, clearer and clearer. Paying attention to it.
That's as we pay attention to it, it all gets clearer, and paying attention to it is the key phrase, you know, to just that being the detective.
Yeah.
You know, just watching all of it, and what, you know, that phrase that we hear so often in practice is that so.
Yeah.
You know, to just have it, to just be watching it all.
Yeah, and it's so exciting because there always seems like another layer of the onion that can pull back and reveal something that's been there all along, but that it was kind of hiding in plain sight. And the image today of having your one foot on the gas and one on the brake, I mean, I just recently got an image that's very similar to that, of having one foot in a boat and the other on the shore. You know, the legs are going like this. And I actually, when I saw that, I could recognize that as a process that has been a process throughout my life.
A process,
Yeah, that, and to see it and recognize it, that there's been some part of me that wants to do things and wants to, you know, accomplish things or whatever, and then there's this foot that anchors on the shore, and that's fear.
Yeah.
That's the role fear plays, you know, and it just kind of always, and it was just so wonderful to see it in that image and just get it.
Boy. It, as we were talking to earlier, I mean, that's one of the things life dropped in, you know, possibly that image, to just make it so clear.
Yeah.
What the foot of fear on the bank, and the other, you know, in the boat, and the other image that we had at the beginning of the group of, you know, just hopping in that boat and just going with the current, you know, and recognizing that there's someone there, one might say the heart, who, you know, that just wants to hop in that boat and go.
Wants to trust life, wants to trust herself, wants to enjoy the excitement and the challenges that's involved in getting down that river and traversing the rapids and the eddies and the this's and that's and branches sticking up that could catch you and hold you and stuff, all that. And, but no. That energy, that foot on the shore. No, I can't. I won't. I'll get hurt. I'll drown.
As if having one foot on the shore and one foot in the boat doesn't hurt and doesn't get us drowned in the end.
Yeah,
you know?
there's a quote of Carrie's that I had on my refrigerator for a long time that said, "There is nothing worse that can happen to you than believing what, this isn't right, I'm butchering it, but it, you know, it's what you just said, only it's a quote she had, that can be worse than believing what ego is telling you in this moment. Ego's threatening that this is going to happen, that there's nothing worse that could happen than believing that, listening to that, believing it, and not doing whatever it's telling you not to do, because fill in the blank.
So being there and just in that place of believing ego is just like the worst it's ever going to get.
That's right. The fill in the blank thing is a piece of cake compared to listening to that and not doing what your heart wants to do.
Wow.
You're lucky.
We're lucky. We're lucky to know it's possible to jump in the boat. Thank you, Karen. Rebecca.
Well, I'm going to ditto that we're lucky, and we're so lucky. What was started out with that last conversation, to be able to discern the difference in those two voices, you know, those two life dropping in and the voices of conditioning. And it really is a peeling of the onion experience, because there's all kinds of ways that they can sound similar, where there's all kinds of levels of discernment that is necessary. You know, sometimes at first, at least in my experience, just getting that those hateful things that were maybe really obviously, blatantly hateful things were not me. And then it's not necessarily that the voices get less hateful, they just get subtler,
they
or
get
sneakier
subtler
or something, What image that the mentor dropped in with me recently, you know, on a recording was that this is the skin of the skin of the skin. This is the marrow of the bone kind of type voices that we're looking at now. And that, Lisa, I hope that's
that mentor, she knows what we need to hear.
And if she says the same thing in 6 years, I'll go, wait a minute, I thought that was the marrow back then. But it's so good to have that that skill, that practice that's sort of been being honed over the years.
It's so good to have that practice that's been honed, and I think what you're pointing to too is that it is a practice that will continue to be honed.
Yep. And the guide models that beautifully, like, it's just never a time to stop practicing because we're in love with practicing. Not because we're getting anywhere or any, you know, all that. So the particularly liberating thing that I've discerned lately, is sort of a koan that I've been sitting with for 3 or 4 years around. I remember the guide put a question to me like 3 or 4 years ago. What is it going to take to prove that you can be trusted? What is it going to take to prove that to yourself? And what has dropped in is trusting life is what it's going to take to prove to myself that I can be trusted.
Trusting life is what it's going to take to prove to yourself that you can be trusted.
I like carrying that back. It's because where I went with that question initially and have been kind of spinning up for a long time is how I need to be in order to be trusted. You know, I need to do this, I need to be that way, and I need to not engage in the voices, and I need to, all of the things, all of the content areas that in my conditioned reality mean trustworthy.
So it just took you to that place of, what you're saying is being fixed. What is it that, you know, needs to be fixed in order to make this person trustworthy? And just, you know, spinning out in that and then just seeing the shift. There's nothing needs to be fixed. It's just coming back to trusting life.
Yes, it's very much the shift from content to process.
Content to process.
That it's not it's not even the process of, because see, then that's another one of those sneaky, you know, voice mutations there. It can go into, okay, you're going to do the process of being a trustworthy person, right? Which is just sort of a sloppy facade on the content, but sloppy enough to fool me for a long time, but nevertheless, it's not true, you know? Because what I'm seeing, and I think the foot on the shore and the foot in the boat kind of image you know, underlines it is to jump in the boat, to trust, just to trust. Mm-hmm. That's the experience. Let's see how to say it. When I'm trusting life in that what you practice is what you have sort of way, mm-hmm. when I'm trusting life, then I can know trustworthy. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I can know that experience. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I can never know that if I'm not trusting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. When I'm trusting life, then I can know the experience of trust.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
And the inverse is true. Without trusting life, I can be the goodest little girl. I can be the perfectest everything, you know? Yeah. And I can't know that trust because I'm not in that process. I'm in being good.
Being the goodest, rightest, little perfect girl. Yeah. And that's the process that you have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to just jump in that boat of trust, and if that's what I want, if what I want is to know trustworthy, you know the experience of trust, then that's simply what it requires. Mm-hmm. It's just a kind of law of the universe, it seems. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. That's simply what it requires, is just trusting.
Yeah.
You know, the process of trusting.
Yeah.
We have what we are practicing.
Yeah.
And then then we have it.
And then we have it.
And then we have it.
And you know, something that's just dropping in as you say that goes back to what was said earlier about it just dropping in, because this memory of so the first time I remember having that experience was when I was 16 and I was at this retreat, and I kind of stood back and was watching this amazing sort of curious outpouring of love and acceptance and praising God and all these kinds of things. And the person who was watching all that was skeptical, was like, is this real? And in that moment, I got this profound message that said, this is real, you can trust this.
Wow.
And that has stayed with me all my life and has resurfaced when I needed it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The most recent of which was last night. You know, I was recording. Uh-huh. And again, the first thing this morning, now that I'm remembering it, and I was recording that too, let's get really clear on who our friends are and who our friends aren't. You know, meaning the voices of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that discernment thing. And remember, you never, 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 never regretted following life. Never. Even if it wasn't clear at the moment, mm-hmm. it became clear eventually.
Yeah.
You know, and so basically the mentor was just laying out for me what the process of trusting looks like. Mm-hmm. You go with it whenever, even if you don't know, even if everything in you feels, you know, you go with it. And it reminded me of that experience when I was 16. You know, it just was giving me all this support to trust, because, mm-hmm. you know, that was where, that was, I think, what my silent prayer, in a way, without my even knowing it, has been, you know, through this koan.
So the mentor just came in and just gave you all of these support.
Yeah.
And actually called upon a previous experience.
Yeah.
And I project that was an experience of, you began talking about getting clear with authenticity, and, you know, and that was one of, you know, a really early on experience of touching what was authentic.
Yeah.
And as you said, it never, ever, well, we can't lose it. It's, you know, it's, you know, at that time you touched what was authentic and had been carrying it with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there it is to touch on when it's, you know, needed, as you said last night when this was coming up. And just having more and more revealed, like you said, the onions, the layers of the onion, you know, of in this case, seeing more and more revealed about the process of trust.
So much to be grateful for.
So much to be grateful.
Thank you.
Nikki.
So the version of what we've been talking about this morning that I've been seeing is that not just the discerning the difference between story and life and authenticity, but the ability to not take the story personally and give it energy. Because I've been looking at a particular story that's been following me around lately. Actually, it's a kind of a collection of stories. It's actually sort of a book.
A book.
Of related stories that take their turns wanting my attention. And for a while, I was kind of stuck in, what is this? And trying to sort of see through it. And what just finally showed up was, it's just a story. It does not need to occupy your attention. I mean, it can sit out there and yammer away all it wants to, but it's not personal, and you don't need to do what it says. Mm-hmm. You don't need to believe what it says, and it can go on forever if it wants to.
Yeah, if I hear what you're saying, it's like it had you hooked for a bit in noodling about these collection of stories. And just coming in, like, it can be dropped.
It can just not only be dropped, it can just go ahead and do its thing.
It can do its thing without your...
Yeah. I don't need to participate in it. It's still there. I mean, it still wants to pull my attention. You know, it still wants me to believe that there is something of truth in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe there might be. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to find it by going there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's yeah. the only, if there is anything in there for me to see, the only way I'm going to see it is by being here and not there. Uh-huh. So, you know.
That's kind of a funny. So if there is anything in there for you to see, it's going to be by being here.
Not by being engaged.
Not by going over there.
That's right. Not by being engaged in it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And so... So, the only thing left to do is be in the moment. You know, and it wants to say, well, then you have to figure this out because then you don't know what to do if you don't figure this out. And I said,
you're not going to know what to do in the next moment.
What I just do is I be here.
Yeah.
And sometimes that, you know, looks comfortable and sometimes it doesn't. But uh-huh. I can do that.
Uh-huh. 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 That's a good. I can do that. I can be in this moment.
I can be in this moment. That's one thing. That's one thing I can trust.
Yeah.
That's one thing I can trust. That's one thing I can know. And where it leads to in the next moment, I don't have the foggiest idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not a clue where it's going.
No.
But this moment.
This moment
is doable.
I'm just here.
Yeah. Thank you, practice. Chris.
So the other thing I look at with voices and trusting is how conditioning comes in to take credit for everything that drops in from life, or kind of own it in some way. Mm-hmm. And not too long ago, I was traveling. And I was given a room to sleep in, and it had a deck off of it. And so I'm about ready to go to sleep, and it dropped in that I could, on a foam pad, that I could just haul the whole thing out under the deck. And it's always amazing because the whole thing dropped in as a package. It was like it's a clear night. There's no rain. Temperatures are, you know, gorgeous. You know, all of that was like ideal conditions. If that just dropped in, that could happen. And immediately, conditioning went for the duality. And of course, it always does, right?
Yeah.
It brought up the idea of because sometimes if I'm sleeping outside, I won't sleep well because there's things that go on outside. don't go on. Breezes and bugs and all kinds of things like that. So it immediately brought that up, which kind of halted the energy. Mm-hmm. And then there is someone generally who does want to get a good night's rest. And there's someone who generally does enjoy the excitement of waking up in the night and seeing the stars swirling overhead, and the, you know, all that stuff that comes with it. And so then there's this battle, the duality thing that's going on, and to no resolution, of course. And at some point, I just went, I don't care, and I just hauled it all outside. And it was fabulous. It was just totally gorgeous. And I slept fabulously. Everything came absolutely true. And when I woke up in the morning, as soon as it dropped in, you know, I checked in and I felt really good. I slept really well. I hear a voice that says, "Boy, am I glad I did that."
Wow.
Wow. And I was there shaking my head for a little while. Wait a minute. Aren't you the same voice that tortured me over making this decision? It was very quiet. You know? It just dropped right out of the equation.
A definite benefit of being here to catch those little things where, you know, that God, nasty voice that just wants to come in and take, you know, take all the joy and take credit for it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just going to say, I think that was a great example of jumping in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life just dropped that whole package in. You can go outside, you can sleep
under
the stars.
No conversation
required, you know. And there it was to entice you to keep one foot on the shore. You know, with the bugs and the breezes and the, you know, da 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 da, and somebody just jumped in the boat.
Yeah. And you know, as you say that, I've had that experience where I do that, I jump on the boat like that, and then, like in this example, I might be in the process of actually just going hauling things out there, and at some point, it's easy to have that life drop in, no, this isn't going to work. And haul it all back inside.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a. Yeah. Every moment is another place where it can
That's
all
such
revive.
A great
it's never
point.
A permanent
yep.
kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was something. In terms of dualities, I thought this was a pretty interesting way to frame it. So, if one were to describe each moment as a set of infinite possibilities, right? And then I can get there with that. Go, yeah, sure. Then how would you ever choose between two different choices? Because if you make choice A, you've got infinite possibilities. And if you make choice B, you've got infinite possibilities. And it's like, you know, conditioning is just kind of stalling. You're going, wait a minute. I like those infinite possibilities. Those, right?
Yeah.
And so it just completely knocks the legs out of the right decision, that anything can happen in any place at any time. And
mm-hmm.
so,
mm-hmm. yeah.
What's the deal?
What's the deal? We certainly don't, you know, coming back to that, it doesn't require thinking.
It doesn't require thinking. That is perfect.
Yeah. It's just, and I loved that, what you said about that whole package dropping in to go outside was what dropped in and could be active. It didn't mean that life wasn't going to, you know, mid-evening, drop in another package that said, you know, well, you know, I think it's time to move back in. You know, it's just, to just be open to what's the...
And none of that, my experience is none of that occurs to me if I'm in that discussion.
None of it.
The possibilities are so limited, the expansion isn't there, so it isn't, there's just no options in it.
It isn't.
You're in that conversation, I'm in that conversation, and that's the deal. That's where I need to stay, and, you know.
Yep. Boy, I've been looking at myself, it's the way it just generates so much suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to make the right choice, and if you make that choice, you've got to stick to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just no, you know.
How much you suffer in it or anything like it.
That's it, you know, until...
Yeah, it brings up like an image of sleeping outside, waking up in the middle of the night, and just totally not enjoying it. And then conditioning coming in going, there's still 2 hours.
Hang in there.
Yeah. We can make this work. Yeah. You and me together, so we're going to talk this thing out.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the sun rises, it'll come in and go, why did you, what got into you that you could have, this was going to work out? Why did you?
So much more fun without it. Thanks, Chris. Cameron?
the two choices, both with ultimate possibilities, reminded me of a poem I just heard recently that was really, really spoke to that beautifully. And it was talking about when it was kind of like when ego or conditioning is dropped and we're in the present moment, we can go anywhere and do anything. But the poem said, but do we need to? Mm-hmm. That when we're present, there's no reason to go over here to get something better, because what's over there is not any better than what's here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, I forgot there were some other ramifications that were really neat in the poem. I can't think of it now. But it's like that. There, when present, there is no need to do or no reason to not do anything. Mm. There's nothing more you can get, and there's nothing to lose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nothing more you can get and nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm reminded of the birthday present we started with.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where to go?
Yeah, there's nowhere better.
Nowhere better
than this here. That here over there is not any better than this here.
Yeah. Thank God, there's just one here.
And we can go. We can take it with us. Yeah. Well, maybe that's not accurate.
It is where we are.
Yeah, experientially anyway.
Oh man, that story was just bringing up a hilarious memory of sleeping outside and being miserable, and just life dropping in. I mean, just there, it could not be signaling any clearer. Like, maybe you should go into that awesome little bungalow right there. But there, it's that that process of thinking which generates a sort of story of how this is supposed to go, mm-hmm. and then the attachment to, no, I'm sleeping on the beach. Like, you know, we came here, we came here to sleep on the beach. You know, we got the tent, we borrowed the tent, we came here, and then we lost the part of the tent pole, so now the tent's not working. Then there's like a windstorm, so like clearly the tent's not structurally stable. So okay, well, we have the fly, and there's this one tree, and I'm pretty good at tying tarp, so kind of angle this thing so we have this little shelter, and then it's raining, and then there's a black lab who's soaking wet and covered in sand and like wondering, what are we doing here? So it's that attachment to to what I want, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in spite of what's available, which is not, you know, in congruence with that story. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, anyway, that just dropped in. It was, if either one of us had been even slightly present to the situation, it would have just been like, well, this is just the thing to do. Is to go inside and wake up on this awesome beach.
So just seeing that suffering that can be attached to just clinging to that idea that an I might have about what this whole life is going to look like, you know, without being open to life dropping in. What's the next step, you know, and to just be able to give up our ideas in that moment about
what we want.
Right. And that it's that clinging. It's exactly what it is. It's a clinging to an idea in that is not related to what is so.
Yeah, not related to what is so.
And in that, just there's no availability to experience, you know, or enjoy what is so. I mean, sleeping in a bungalow with rain on the roof, I mean, it would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was totally missed by this, mm-hmm. you know, in preference of this miserable experience in soaking sleeping bags, which, I mean, it's just, it's really, really hilarious how this transpired. But I don't know, it's a little bit of that, you know, thinking, because it was always like, okay, well, this, we have this idea, there's this clinging, there's this attachment to how mm-hmm. this is supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's this one element that, there's this obstacle.
Yeah.
Now there's a thinking process of like, oh, well, I can solve that. Mm-hmm. And we can still make this happen. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm in this process of devising a plan. Mm-hmm. And in order to sort of stave off reality and somehow still somehow allow us to not have to give up that clinging.
Yeah. Somehow allow you not have to give up that clinging. Like there's going to be a plan devised that will support that kind of clinging. And I just saw, as you're saying, it's like, you know, the voice in our head just running us, like, okay, talk to the tree, okay, now do that, now, and just he's going, he's doing all of this stuff, and never once is there an opportunity to just stop, and to take a breath, and to hear maybe another course of action, you know, it's
well, I think there was probably lots of opportunities to do exactly that, but there's just no, there's maybe no willingness, or no, there's just that momentum of figuring out and doing. It's that doing, and I don't know. It's that. It reminds me of something I heard Sherry say. Was it on Friday? Of, you know, if we want to have the life we want, it's our job to have it. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of just that, like, that difference between what we want, that idea of what we want, and just that, the process of having what what is. Mm-hmm. So, and the process of wanting doesn't seem to lead to the process of having, which I've heard around here a lot. But I'm seeing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it sure seems like the way to have something is to want it. Is to first I want something, then I go get it, mm-hmm. and then I'll have it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that the wanting and the having. I mean, the wanting is in that land of clinging to ideas, mm-hmm. and attachment to mm-hmm. stories and all of that, which never can be satisfied.
So just seeing that those two different processes, of the process of wanting and the process of having, mm-hmm. and seeing that one doesn't lead to the other, despite what many years of thinking that that's going to work, but just, you know, it's becoming more clear that just being in that process of wanting isn't going to any place of satisfaction.
Oh, right. It reminds me of a little kid, you know, like, what do you want to be when you grow up, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to be an architect, you know, because that just sounds awesome. And then by the time, if the child happens to become an architect, like, it's just the to-do list and the next thing and the stress of work, and I mean, there's no having that awesomeness of what that wanting was pointing at. Conditioning on that one runs pretty deep from an early age.
Absolutely. That conditioning runs so deep to set us up for that constant. I mean, another way, you know, it's the carrot at the end of the stick, that constant, you know, wanting.
Thank you.
Oh, that's our time. Thank you.